today on Real Radio.
Jesus has been holding his church and its leaders, and he's gonna hold his church and his leaders until he comes for the church. And when he walks through the midst of the lampstands, he's speaking about fellowship. So the question is, what is he saying to you today as a Christian?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a new series called My Dear Church, I've Written You a Letter, beginning with the church at Ephesus with a message called My Dear Ephesus, I've Written You a Letter. Jesus singles out actual churches in Asia Minor, which, by the way, is also known as modern-day Turkey. His intention was to deliver a timeless message to every believer in every church by challenging us to examine our own hearts during these uncertain and often very difficult times. Many are confused over what's happening today. Some say it's God's judgment upon the earth, while others simply call it a process of evolution. But one thing is absolutely sure. God is speaking to the world, and we need to listen to him. So today, on day one of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that in the book of Revelation, Jesus encourages the church in Ephesus and understands how they ministered with patience and labored without complaint. Still, Jesus has one thing against them, and that is that they've left their first love. And now in his message called My Dear Ephesus, I've Written You a Letter, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
My dear Ephesus, Jesus is saying, I've written you a letter. And so in our responsive reading that we're going to fudge on a little bit because we're not together right now, I will read all the way through. But you know what? I got to tell you, before I do that, I think it's safe to say, hear me out carefully, I think it's safe to say that every pulpit all around the world on this Lord's Day, on Sunday, pastors are naturally delivering sermons of hope, sermons of peace, sermons to bring encouragement, and I agree with that. I'm going to give a message that's going to be bringing hope and be bringing peace and bringing encouragement, but I want to deliver it in a way that I believe the Lord has been speaking to my heart about, and I trust and I pray that you will understand, because it's God's chronology of speaking to his people. Very, very important. And so Revelation chapter 2, beginning of verse 1, John says, because it was given to John, he writes this down, but he's speaking or writing on behalf of Christ. To the angel of the church at Ephesus, write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. And you have persevered, and you have patience, and you have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. Verse 4, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, do your first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Verse 6 goes on to say, but this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate, says Jesus. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to him from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Let's pray. Father, we ask you, Lord, now again that you'd speak to us out of your word with great power and great application. And Lord, I pray that you would give me the ability to deliver a topical sermon, one that would address, Lord, your word rightly and speak to our hearts correctly. So, Father, we ask you now to inhabit our praises. In your holy name we pray. So, obviously, we're in the book of Revelation, and the book of Revelation is exactly that. The word apocalypse or apocalyptic is that it is the revealing of, the unveiling. If you had a great monument or maybe a great statue that was veiled, the artist had finished his sculpture and before all the lights are turned on it and before everything is seen publicly, it is veiled. Maybe like a beautiful piece of art, it's veiled until there is the unveiling. And the book of Revelation is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. If you look carefully at the, at least you should see at the top of your Bible there in the book of Revelation, right above chapter 1, it says there, the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the revelation of St. John, but the revelation of Jesus Christ, the person of who Jesus Christ is. So this book is featuring the central figure of the entire Bible itself, and that is Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting to me that there are some religions, there are some groups that say you can't or you should not study the book of Revelation, that it's a closed book. My dear friends, it's the exact opposite. In fact, if you take the time later today to read chapter 1, it will tell you that it is a book that is to be both read and listened to. And to all those who read it and to those who hear it, there's a special blessing that will be placed upon their lives. No other book of the Bible promises such an amazing thing. But I also believe that's exactly why Satan doesn't want people to read the book of Revelation. I mean, come on, it's bad press for the devil. It's bad press for him because it's this revelation of Jesus that teaches us the restoration of all things. It teaches us all about the fact that Satan will be bound up, that his attempt to overthrow the kingdom of God is thwarted by Christ, and that he, in fact, is bound for 1,000 years, and then eventually Satan himself is thrown into the lake of fire, where he will reside forever. I can almost hear a clap, I hope, in some of your homes, or offices, or hotels, wherever you're at, that one day Satan will be bound. All of the lying, all of the murder, all of the brokenness, all of the hurt, all of the pain will go down into the pit where it belongs with the wicked one. But this is an important thing. This is a powerful thing to remember, that Christ is the central figure. But as we get ready to hear this study, we have to remember this. Jesus Christ in the Revelation is the culmination of all of his ministry aspects. See, Jack, what do you mean by that? Well, Jesus Christ in the Gospels is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, John tells us. We also know that according to the Bible, that Jesus is our priest. He's our priesthood. The book of Hebrews tells us about his great everlasting priesthood. That we are to confess to Christ, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, and not to man. By the way, I don't know if you saw this headline news, but the Pope in Rome said that because you cannot get to a priest during this time of disease and pestilence on the earth, that it's okay, says the Pope, to confess your sins directly to God. I saw that article and I got a big smile and I went right over to Lisa, my wife, and I said, look at this. And she read it and we both looked at each other and smiled because that's exactly what the Bible says. The Bible tells us to go directly to Christ. Paul writes to Timothy and says that there's one mediator between man and God, and that is the man, Christ Jesus, his everlasting priesthood. You go directly to Christ. You don't go to a pastor. You don't have to go to a priest. The Bible says you can go directly to Christ. What a great comfort that is to the lonely and to the outcast and to those who are sensing a great need to pursue Christ today, as I hope you are. But not only those things, but the fact of the matter is the Bible teaches us, thirdly, that Jesus Christ is judge, that he's the judge. Christ in the end will judge all things. But as we look at this, that's what we're seeing. And I don't say this to upset anybody. By the way, this message I'm giving is directly geared to the church. Now, if you're not a Christian today, by all means, listen up. And here's the fun part of it. You can listen up so you know what to do regarding your Christian friend. You can hold them accountable to what they heard today. But I do hope if you're not a born-again believer, that is a transformed individual, if you've not transformed or experienced the transformation power of Christ, I hope that changes in your life today. But I want to talk about this very important message that Jesus gives to the church at Ephesus. And the things that are going on in the world around us, the question is this: what is God saying to the church? What's God speaking to the church in the world right now? God is talking to every Christian, to every pastor in the world right now. And we need to be asking the question, what is it? And I personally believe that the events of this world right now, God is using for a very specific purpose, and I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that God is speaking. What we need to do, what I need to do, is tune in and listen. But many things are certain, I believe, at this time. I know many people don't feel like it, but there are certain things. And I believe that certain things are clear. But to me, nothing is more certain and more clear than the fact that God is speaking right now in the way of mercy. Mercy. I'm just relating it to the fact the current death rate in the world that is taking place does not set this season, this time, outside the realm or the brackets of normal. We're not hearing that on the news, that the death rate of the flu season is at a normal. Yes, it's an aggressive flu. Yes, it's an aggressive disease, this virus. But the fact of the matter is, if it wasn't coronavirus, it would be something else. And next year, there's going to be something else. And the year after that, there's going to be something else. But my question to you is, what are you doing to be prepared for days like this? I believe God is speaking, and mark it down, please. I believe that God is speaking in mercy. Because if you get sick, you can start thinking thoughts toward God, and you can make a decision about God, and you can wonder about eternity. That's what Christ wants you to think about. But this morning, all around the world, there's a silence. The wheels of industry have silenced. The sound of people buying and selling have been silenced. There's no traffic here in Los Angeles. It's very eerie, and I'm not saying that to be funny. At any time of the day, you can go out on our LA freeways and drive at full speed. No traffic. It's very strange for us. There's no baseball games, which as Americans, this is a big deal. There's nobody going to the mall. Nobody's attending stadiums for various events. I saw recently this week that the Vatican has become silent as people are not allowed to gather. You think about that for a moment. The Vatican's empty. The Vatican is silent. And then I saw a clip regarding the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and it's absolutely silent. Nobody's there. And then in Saudi Arabia, the Muslims have the Kaaba, and normally it's filled with tens of thousands or a million worshipers that walk around that black box of Islam. And it's empty. And there's a strange silence. In fact, Saudi Arabia announced on Tuesday that all the mosques would no longer permit its worshipers to gather all around the world. You say, well, Pastor, didn't our nation say the same thing? Isn't the United States telling our worshipers not to gather? You know what? Our government has requested that people not gather, and people are being obedient, and people are being cautious about that, but there was no official demand that it could have been. It didn't come down as strong as it could have been. But even with that, I want to challenge you. The Vatican is silent, the Temple Mount is silent, the Kaaba is silent. But don't think for a moment that the church is silent. Don't think for a moment that when you see an empty church with nobody in it, that the church is somehow silent. Listen, that building is not the church. That's what's so awesome about being a Christian. The building is not the church. The people are the church. And right now in your homes all around the world, you're having church. The elements in this time have brought you to a place of having church. And to that, I want to speak to you about. We've all been brought under what they're calling, because it sounds good, rather than martial law. They've called it sheltering in place. And just again in the Southland in Southern California, you can go down the streets of LA and there's an eeriness and there's an emptiness and there's a stillness of it all. It's very, very odd and very, very strange. But so we experience this interesting time and we ask the question, what's going on? What's happening? What in the world is taking place in our culture today? And what is going on in our hearts and in our minds? Our attention has been seized and grabbed. And God wants, and he has always wanted, his church to experience exactly what he is saying. But you and I are prone to distraction. And seemingly God has shut everything down. And so I want to point out five things for you, devotionally speaking, this morning to consider. When the Bible says, my dear Ephesus, I've written you a letter. Look at verse 1 in your Bible, Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Revelation 2, 1 says, to the angel of the church at Ephesus, write these things, says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. The first thing I want you to write down, friends, is this. When Jesus says, I've written you a letter, Ephesus, it's so that we might listen to what he is saying. Will you write that down? So listen to what I am saying to you. I believe that at this hour, God is using this moment to speak to us, and he's saying to us, listen to what I'm telling you. Pastor, listen to what I'm telling you. And I mean that sincerely. When it says the angel, he writes to the angel of the church who is at Ephesus. The word angel is anglios. It's translated messenger. It's most often for 2,000 years believed to mean or reference the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Ephesus, a great city of commerce 2,000 years ago. One of the biggest money-making locations of the Roman Empire. It was the epicenter of the worship of Artemis, or you know that deity as Diana. And Diana was the chief goddess of that, and patron saint or goddess, I should say, of the city of Ephesus. The word Ephesus means, interesting meaning, the word Ephesus means desirable or delightful. It's a word that means pleasant. It means, by the way, it can mean tolerant. It can mean welcoming. It was a tremendous city with a tremendous name and a tremendous history. But the Bible here says that God is speaking via and to the pastor or the messenger of that church. And he's challenging that church to consider several things. These things, says he who holds the seven stars. So God has in his possession, Jesus does, these messengers. Every church that is called by God, and might I put it this way? Just because somebody starts a church doesn't mean it's a church that's started by God. There's a lot of churches out there that God is not welcome in. It goes by the name of church, or it might have the legal status of a church. It might have the label of a church. But there's no manifest evidence of God ever beginning that work or sustaining that work and giving that work vision. Here, Jesus is saying, I own the church that is at Ephesus. And wherever you're at, the Bible teaches us that God owns the church in that community. Those churches belong to him, and that he holds the seven stars in his right hand. The right hand in the Bible is referred to as the place of power, strength, and protection, and that he walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. So we want to ask or remind ourselves, what is it that God is saying? He's announcing that it's a time of listening. What am I saying to you is what the Lord is announcing to the church. Have you noticed that at a time like this, many churches have stepped up, and in the hour of trial and testing, they've become, as it were, more glorious, can I say, more golden. Their light is brighter now. It's so amazing. I'm speaking to you in a congregation that is empty, as it were, an auditorium that is black, and yet There's more light going out now, and that light is landing in more places now than ever before. Only God could have done that. The golden lampstands, the Bible says he walks through the midst of them. If you ever get a chance to visit this church, you can enter into the main entrance of the foyer, and there's a 2,000-pound stone of uncut Jerusalem rock. And grafted into that great rock, that great 2,000-pound boulder, is a 7 lampstand, the menorah. It's found in the book of Genesis, or Exodus, I should say, and then finally in the book of Revelation, the 7 lampstand. Not the Hanukkah light or the 9 branches, the 7 branches is biblical. Jesus says that he walks through the midst of them. He's walking through the midst of these 7 churches. 7 churches that represent the church throughout all the last 2,000 years, and 7 churches by nature and description represent any given Christian at any given time where your heart is at. So it's a manifest observation. Jesus has been holding his church and its leaders, and he's gonna hold his church and his leaders until he comes for the church. And when he walks through the midst of the lampstands, he's speaking about fellowship. So the question is, what is he saying to you today as a Christian? Notice, we've all been reduced, as it were, down to our own space, no pun intended, our own 6-foot space. And here in the United States, we're supposed to keep 6 feet away from each other. Somebody wrote me and asked me if that applied to their spouse. I don't know if that was a letter of wishful thinking or an honest question, but no, it doesn't apply to your spouse or your family, assuming that you're healthy. But what God is saying to you in your space matters. And I would think that God is saying to us today that we need to get alone more, we need to get silent, we need to get quiet. I think God is in the silence. I think God is shouting in the silence. The world has got a hush. Coming down here this morning, none of our parks were filled with soccer players today. No kids playing soccer. I'm probably gonna get hate mail for this, but that's a good thing. Have you noticed distractions have evaporated? Why? Because I believe God wants to speak. And we need to ask the question of ourselves, Christians. We need to get on our knees and get alone and say, Lord, what is it that you're saying to me? Lord, if you were to examine my life as a church, if you were to say, my dear Mary, my dear Bob, I've written you a letter, and this is what I'm saying to you. So listen, Christian, God is speaking.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called, My Dear Ephesus, I've Written You a Letter. Thanks for listening today. And our hope is that as 2021 continues, it'll turn out to be a year full of peace for you and joy that's only possible when you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. Would you consider coming to Him today? My Dear Ephesus, I've Written You a Letter. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called My Dear Church. It's a timeless series from the book of Revelation that takes us through the 7 letters to the 7 churches and what God wants to say to the church today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, God truly does love us. Even during times of trouble and sorrow, we have this confidence that He's right there next to us. And when you've made Jesus Christ your first love, He has an unbelievable inheritance waiting just for you. So if you want God's salvation through His Son Jesus Christ, but you're not sure exactly how to go about it, we'd like to help. Just go to our website, jackhibbs.com. And look for the tab that's labeled Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, we're sure you'll find the gospel message that you've been looking for. We even have a way for you to email us if you'd like and tell us about your decision to follow Christ. Again, head over to that website, jackhibbs.com. Click on the tab labeled Know God. That's at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.